but we ran into a parliamentary issue that we were aware of, but out of an abundance of caution, we decided to pull back and start over. So those new bills have been filed, and I'm thinking they'll be heard Tuesday of next week.
Beginning Monday, the U.S. Highway 75 entrance into the Woodland Housing Addition will be closed to traffic to facilitate the Woodland Road Concrete Rehabilitation Project. Director of Engineering Micah Seemers said in a statement, typically they try at least one direction of traffic during this type of project. However, at the Highway 75 intersection, they did not feel it would be safe for the workers or the public to try to maintain ingress or egress. And for this reason, all access to the Woodland Addition will be limited to Adams Boulevard and Nowata Road during the course of this project. It's anticipated the project will take about 3 weeks to complete. News on the air, on the web, on your app, and on Alexa. I'm Tom Davis. Time now for the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. The Green Country Gardener is brought to you by Green Thumb Nursery, Jensen Tractor Ranch, Peter's True Value, United Rentals, Overlees Woods Lumber Company, ABS Performance, LPL Painting Company, also Groves Fine Woodworks. Sharpen your shovels. It's time for the Green Country Gardener. Ah, yes, he's a gardener. He's a double knot spy. He's Larry Glass, and it's time for the Green Country Gardener Show. Your brother's pretty darn good on that banjo.
Yes,
Boy, I tell you, he's really good. It is 8:09. We got the telephone lines open here. If you're anxious to get out in the yard, but you really don't know what to do, this is the place to get some information.
A double knot spy. You like my Walter PPK shovel?
There you go.
My Gatlin pruning shears.
1-800-749-5936 is our toll-free number to get in here on the Green Country Gardener Program. What do we have to kick off today's show, Larry?
Shoveled. Not troweled. Hey, why can't you guys make up your minds on the weather? It rained here on the ceiling last night, on the roof last night.
It did.
I said, hey, guys, wrong holiday. It's Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Speaking of Mother's Day at the nursery, we got all kinds of color for Mom. Hanging baskets and patio pots ready to go. So come by and check it out. Pick it up and go. Very simple. So if you got a mom who needs a little bit of color on the porch or the patio, we've got it just ready to go. So anyway, hanging baskets, the whole works at the nursery. So anyway, this time, what's happening in the garden this week? The hydrangeas are starting to differentiate. Ooh, that means the leaves are starting to turn into blooms.
There you go.
And we have a new truckload of compost. It's exciting.
Can't get enough of that this time of year, you know?
Yeah. We got some all kinds of roses, too. I really do like the drift roses. Mm-hmm. They're very easy to grow. They're very compact. Whole lots of little bitty flowers on them. They're kind of nice, too.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a few roses here and there. And the crepe myrtles are starting to leaf out. And I noticed on some people's houses, the crepe myrtles got set back a little bit this winter. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The emergence of the crepe myrtle is somewhat sporadic above ground.
Yeah, it wasn't.
In other words,
exactly
a little dead
even.
Spot here, and a little bit of branches popping off just wherever it pleases. And I noticed that really all over town. So, but they're going to make a comeback when it finally gets warm. When you guys decide to make it consistently warm, they'll really take off and do just fine.
Okay.
And they grow so fast when they finally take off. When the weather gets right.
Hey, are you in for a little bit of rain? Are you up for a little bit of rain?
Don't tell me about that. I've got a whole truckload of sod to put down this week.
Well, if you dodge the raindrops, just carefully. There's a chance every day next week.
It's not the first time I've done that. Been covered in mud.
Last year probably gave you some pretty good training.
It was a mess. This week, hopefully I can delay the shipment a little bit. I ordered it. You have to order the stuff well in advance.
Got it.
And we don't know what's happening with the weather. And then, we'll find out.
Got it.
I just hope I can sweet talk them into maybe not cutting the sod. So they're going to cut it on Monday. So anyway, that's coming up too. So, a lot of stuff going on this time of year. Right? Spring.
Oh, always, yeah.
Yeah, the Bermuda grass is really growing real well, and a lot of people are having a hard time with weeds this year, it seems.
I am.
The Poa annua are the annual bluegrass.
Yeah.
It's really, really a pest this year. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are having trouble with it. And I tell them, don't worry about it too much. As soon as it finally warms up, it'll die out, and then it'll be okay. However, since you do have a heavy infestation and it's gone to seed right now,
mm-hmm.
the Poa annua is gone to seed all over the place.
Ooh.
Oh, that's just an insurance policy for another pain in the neck next year. So on your turf grass, just don't worry about it right now. It'll die out, and then the Bermuda grass will fill in and take over. Oh, by the end of the month, mm-hmm. it'll be just fine.
Yeah.
But you do want to be proactive and put down some prodiamine in late September just to prevent most of those Poa annua weed seeds from sprouting.
Gotcha.
I do say the word most.
Mm-hmm. Most.
So you have to kind of plan ahead. And people are, what kind of spray on that? Well, it's difficult to select between, say, your fescue grass and the Poa annua. Mm-hmm. Genetically, they're pretty close to the same. And they don't have an herbicide that will kill it without damaging your fescue grass.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of likewise with Bermuda grass. It will damage it somewhat. it'll damage it somewhat and set it back. If you put down some kind of herbicide on it that is designed to, like MSMA or something like that, it can cause some problems with your grass. In other words, setting it back, Tom. You don't want your grass to be ugly for a while. And it takes a bit of time for it to recover. So actually, at this point in time, I would say just tolerate the Poa annua. And don't worry about it. It's going to go to seed, and you will have a problem with it. So don't worry about it. Okay, Tom?
All right. I'm not worrying about it at all.
But be proactive on it next week. Yeah. So that's the deal with that. The Bermuda grass is developing nicely. Mine actually started to develop stolons this last week.
Okay.
So the
little runners.
I got to see if I can get the edger to work.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll be all right. So that's kind of it with grass.
Mm-hmm.
Fertilize that grass too. The best defense against a lot of weeds is a good dose of fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
You want to apply your fertilizer rather regularly on the Bermuda grass. In other words, a light monthly application. If there's rain in the forecast. Otherwise, have some way to water it. And if you don't have a sprinkler system, you're going to want to fertilize an area that you can water it in a bit at a time. You don't want the fertilizer to sit on the ground for too long.
No, you don't.
So you have to be able to water it as you do it. That's not one rule. Rule number two is don't apply fertilizer to dry ground.
You're kind of wasting your money?
It doesn't diffuse into dry soil.
Yeah.
And it stays really on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last, year, we haven't had any problem with dry soil?
No, none whatsoever.
And people say, how do I get this water out of my yard? Well, just turn the plug around backwards on your sprinkler system, and it'll put it back into the water main. No, it doesn't work that way, guys.
It doesn't work that way.
Alternating current.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so keep it well fertilized and let it grow really dense. It's your best defense against a lot of weeds in your grass is to keep the grass good and healthy. Okay, so anyway, a lot of people at the nursery are buying a lot of annuals, and those are the best annuals are those that are not planted in the clay.
Mm-hmm.
And we've sold a ton of compost too.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe 2 tons, I don't know, quite a bit.
Quite a bit,
so,
yeah.
It's a good idea to go ahead and mix some of that into the soil. I know when I do my annuals about every year in January, I've got the compost going into the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's ready.
Got to work that dirt.
Got to work that dirt, yeah. So you want to prepare the soil well ahead of time, and they'll do a lot better. Okay? It's time to plant, of course, those warm season seeds in the vegetable garden. You want to rotate what you planted last year. In the vegetable garden, I'd like to use gypsum to prepare the soil, a little bit of Epsom salts to help your tomatoes out. You have better tomatoes. Time to plant okra, beans, and stuff like that. It's time to do that. So.
Your big greens, huh?
Get after it, yeah.
Big green things.
It's time to pick your radishes. Your lettuce should be on its way out. Uh-huh. And You should have some growth on your broccoli, some flowers forming on your broccoli. Mm-hmm. When it gets hot, it'll kind of die out. Mm-hmm. Watch those little critters on the broccoli, too.
They get hungry.
I was at a house yesterday where there were dwarf yopons. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
They were just literally eaten with worms. Mm. Little tiny little worms.
Inchworms, weren't they?
I think these were like quarter-inch worms.
Oh. Okay.
Millimeter worms.
Okay, yeah. We're going metric now.
And it stripped them just about clean.
Oh, boy.
I said, don't worry about it. They'll come out again.
Mm-hmm. But, they're tough.
But you do want to be a little proactive against that. You can put some imidacloprid down. Or the BT works really well at the first sign of detection. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a little bit of a problem. And that's the only case of that I've seen in this town. And the little critters were also attacking their holly plants, too. Mm. And some species that I wouldn't suspect they would attack, they were going after. So,
sneak attack.
Just a population explosion in that small area. But around it, nothing else, no problems.
Mm.
And I saw some in the backyard. They had some borers in their oak tree. And I knew right away without even getting close.
You can tell, man.
By the scarification mm-hmm. on the trunk, the exfoliation of the bark and all that. And it followed the pattern, the classic pattern of the borers going on the west side of the tree. He said, well, how's that? Well, it's warmer. I said, so we touched the trunk on the east side. It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, now touch it on the west side. And it was noticeably warmer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the little borers like to go on the west side of the trees. Is because it's warmer there. So if you do have borers on your trees, chances are it's developed on the west side.
Check that one first.
Of the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's across the board. It's common mm-hmm. on the borers to do that. So that's pretty interesting.
It's what they do.
Kind of interesting, yeah. Mm-hmm. So on the shrubs this week, you might, now that things are coming out real good, you might want to cut back some winter kill.
Mm-hmm.
That is... maybe a little early on the crepe myrtles, as we mentioned earlier, because sometimes they emerge late on a particular stem. Just mm-hmm. just crepe myrtles. Mm. But we did experience some winter kill on those.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time to do that if you haven't done it yet on your shrubs and everything else. It's a little too late to do heavy cutback on shrubs, such as the burning bush or some of your holly plants, your mm-hmm. boxwoods. It's a bit late to do a heavy cutback. You can still do it on the boxwoods that don't anticipate a significant recovery after being cut back rather sternly, unless it's in a cooler area and they really mm-hmm. haven't started to develop very heavily yet. However, if they're really growing real well and lots of green stuff on it, you get out your shoe, I'll get you.
Yeah.
You can expect some appearance issues. It won't kill it, but just some appearance issues throughout the summer because they've already developed their new growth and are growing out. Fruit trees right now, on your fruit trees, try not to do a whole lot of, don't use the systemic insecticides on at this point. I like to do that after the fruit is harvested.
Mm-hmm.
And usually by the time they bloom in the spring, it's diluted to the point where it won't hurt the bees.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of refrain from that. There's two solutions I like to use on fruit trees. Spinosad as a topical application works very well, and neem oil also, mm-hmm. those two together. Not necessarily at the same time, but separately.
Mm-hmm.
The neem oil works to smother out the scale insects and some other bugs that get in there, and it also it's a life cycle interrupter too, so the metamorphosis just stops, so they kind of die out that mm-hmm. way. And the spinosad works also. I'm not too sure how it works, but it does a good job of controlling it. We carry both of those. And so I probably won't have much of a problem with fruit this year. The hailstorm knocked it all off.
Yeah, well, you're into down anyway, yeah.
Yeah, the ground just covered with little tiny plums.
Yeah, oh, boy.
Then you look up in the tree, there's just a few of them.
Ah.
So the plum jelly in 2020 is going to be very expensive.
Very.
Yes. Yeah. It's a rare year.
You had that bumper crop last year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's kind of what's going on with the fruit trees and everything else, and grass and all that. So on your shrubs this week, what I talked about, cut back some winter kill. Maybe try something new in shrubs. The maiden grass is coming out. So if you haven't cut it back, it's not too late for that. So fertilize your shrubs. Kind of on a constant basis. Don't just do it all at once. I did mine last month. I used iron sulfate in addition to the fertilizer, and to really makes a really good green color on your shrub. I did that on, oh, Kevin Potter drove by my yard when I was out mowing it that last Sunday. He says, wow, that grass looks good. I said, yeah, it's 50 pounds of FESO4 in addition to the fertilizer. It really makes it just that green color just pop.
Wow.
It's noticeably darker than the others. So.
Mm. A little bit of iron in that, is there?
Yeah, I got yellow sidewalks. Uh-huh. But the grass is a beautiful color, a beautiful dark green color. So if you really want that rich, deep green color, mm-hmm. get a fertilizer with some iron in it. And we have that at the nursery, too.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. It is 8:22. We'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, why would somebody want to rent as opposed to just going out buying a piece of gear?
Rentals works great just for the one-time use, two-time use type person versus laying out that kind of dollars for bigger and heavier equipment.
Weather around Oklahoma can cause power outages, and you've got generators for people.
We have generators from the small, we call them suitcase size, all the way up to large to run buildings, homes, businesses. So we can get you taken care of with generators.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowata Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Spring is here, and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is open. For those of you that don't want to get out, Green Thumb offers curbside service or delivery to your home. Ultraviolet light kills viruses, and Green Thumb's plants are treated with ultraviolet light by Mother Nature. And arriving weekly, vegetable, herbs, trees, and shrubs. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5. Sunday, noon to 5.
Don't paint yourself in a corner. Call LPL Painting and Company, professionally painting in the Bartlesville area for 20 plus years. All finishes, all surfaces, perfection corner to corner. You'll find their portfolio online or on Facebook. LPL Painting and Company, that's LPL Painting and Company, fully insured, offering free estimates. Just call 918-214-1999 for consult and estimate.
Not only will you find top quality, low-priced, new and used vehicles at Roman Chevy Buick in Independence, but they also boast a top-notch parts and service department. Roman's has a full staff for big and small jobs, along with the best prices on tires in the area. Need a quick lube oil change? No need to make an appointment, because they can get you in and out in no time, and prices start at just $29.95. Featuring certified GM technicians, count on the finest service around at Roman Chevy Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936, and Larry will be glad to answer your questions here for you. And what we were talking about the shrubs when we left, where are we now?
Still talking about shrubs.
Gotcha.
It's still time to apply systemic insecticide for lace bugs on your azaleas. Mm-hmm. They said, what is that? Lace bug? And I was at a house that had it. Mm-hmm. And you put your hand through the shrub. All these little, tiny little flies came out. Said, those are lace bugs. Well, they're not hurting anything. No. The lace bug, yeah, they do. They do hurt. Lace bugs have a little proboscis on their nose, on mm-hmm. their schnoz, if you will. And they pierce the bottom of the leaf. And then they scoop out all the stuff in between the epidermis of the leaf, mm-hmm. and the palisade and mesophyll, they call it, and that's how they live, is by that. And what it does, you get these little brown spots on the bottom of the leaf from the sap mm-hmm. coming out, and the leaf turns into this very kind of real light green color, mm-hmm. this ugly green color. And it becomes non-functional to the plant, and the plant eventually will die out because it can't photosynthesize, because all these little lace bugs took out all the stuff that makes them photosynthesize.
Mm.
So you have to buy new azaleas. So
it's don't let their size fool you.
Now time to do something about that, and systemics work real well. You might want to do a topical application of something to kill them off if they're present on there.
Okay.
That would be the form of neem oil or something like that. That'll control them. We got a color?
No.
No? Okay. Anyway, that'll control them. Spider mite's a little bit different. Spider mite's on your dwarf Alberta spruce. That's kind of hard right now. You want to use a pyrethroid-based one on that.
Okay.
It works pretty well. Or just a lot of soapy water. However, the cooler weather, which, golly, it's so cold in here. But anyway, they do suppress the mite population somewhat. Cooler weather does. So it's not a serious problem now. But when it gets really hot later on in the summer, the spider mites could be a big problem on your dwarf Alberta spruce and your blue spruce and some other plants. Members of the conifer family like that can have a bad infestation of mites. So boxwoods, too. That's what makes the boxwood smell of the mites.
Okay.
So
they do.
Keep in mind, though, the mite physiologically is different than an insect. The mite is not an insect. It's an arachnid. They have 8 little tiny legs instead of 6 of them. And because of that, their body chemistry is a little bit different. We have to use different set of chemicals to control them. I like the naturals, like the pyrethroids, that do a very good job. They are highly susceptible to light dormant oil, or even just plain old soapy water will keep their populations in check. Keep in mind, though, the gestation period on a spider mite is about 3 days.
That's quick.
So do the math. That's bigger than an exponential curve on the population.
Ooh.
So you want to do what you can to control that.
You see a couple, you're in trouble already.
Tomorrow there'll be 4, and the next day 8, and so on. Yeah. So anyway, so you want to do what you can to control them. So you also, generally, we want to plan our beds for ease of watering, but more than lately, we've been wanting to plan our beds for easy drainage.
There we go.
And kind of plan out your weed control and know your plant requirements. How is your soil and how much compost do you need? Anyway, what we do is we take the surface area of your to determine how much compost you might need. You take your surface area and multiply it by 0.083.
.883.
Yeah.
.883, okay.
Something like that. No, okay. Something like that. And that'll give you how many bags you need.
Oh, gotcha.
So, anyway, that'll kind of help you out there to determine how much. And really, knowing your square footage is very important, too. How many square foot you have in your lawn. How many square... Because these bags have... This is good for 5,000 square feet. People come in... I don't know how much area I have. What setting do I use? Well, there's no uniform standard for settings on the spreaders. So basically I tell people, set it right about in the middle. And then know your square footage and put this 40-pound bag, not necessarily all at once, and put it in there. If you don't use it up, you're doing good. Just reapply until you use up a certain poundage for a certain square footage. It's actually better. Sometimes I fertilize my yard twice because I use a very light application. And then if you didn't use it all up for that, which takes your designated square footage, then you just put it on until you use up that fertilizer for that square footage. So put it on lightly and maybe do it twice. It's good exercise anyway.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And you might hit something you missed the first time around.
Exactly. So if you don't know the settings on your spreader and you don't know your square footage, you need to at least know how many square feet you have.
There you go. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936, and that'll get you through. And we'll take some calls here in just a moment. I do believe we have one ready to go. Hi, you're on the air with Larry. Good morning. Your question or your comment? Hi.
Yes. Usually you tell us what kind of fertilizer to use the first time for Bermuda. Should it be the stronger nitrogen or medium or what?
The first application should be a fairly even ratio of fertilizer, such as just get some 10-20-10 or something. It's only 10% nitrogen, 90% gypsum. But nonetheless, you do want to encourage some good root growth, and some good stolen growth. So the general rule is to apply something like that, an even ratio fertilizer, as your first application.
Okay, so just 10 on the nitrogen?
Yeah, a 10, like a 13, 13, 13, 10, 20, 10, something like that for your first application, yes.
Oh, okay.
About 30 days ago.
What did you just say? I missed it.
About 30 days ago, yeah.
Oh, really? For Bermuda?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you started in May.
Well, you do with your some of your applications, but I like to put that on a little bit early. Your okay. First application. It gets the roots going.
I see. Okay. You're talking Bermuda, right?
Yeah, but you're still okay. Bermuda grass is very forgiving, so yeah.
Yeah, mine hasn't totally come out yet, but it's definitely starting.
Yeah. So then you're probably at the early stage.
Oh, okay. What about, like, your other nutrients, micronutrients? I can't think of them.
Yeah, your trace elements will give you some better color on your grass. It'll also make the vascular tissues and the cells a lot stronger in your grass, too. It's sort of like the difference between eating a well-balanced diet or eating a balance strictly of bread and candy bars.
Oh, my.
You really want to have a good fertilizer with some good trace elements in it.
Which trace elements are you talking about?
Your essential elements, your iron, your magnesium, your boron, copper, zinc, sulfur, those kind of things.
Oh, okay. All right. And you have that?
Yeah. We've got this. Millorganite's a really good one. You get all the goodies in it with Millorganite. Works real well.
You just use that one?
Uh-huh. That or
all
we
right.
We do have some chemical formulations, too, which are good for your lawn. We do, on the north wall of the greenhouse, we have the nursery of the building there, of our office, if you will. Mm-hmm. We have some lawn fertilizer with iron in it, and it's got an orange label on the bag, and it's got the tracers in it to make your yard really nice and green.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you for your call. We'll have more coming up in just a little bit. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Hi, this is Rod McElvain, pastor of Grace Community Church. When we're enmeshed in a crisis, we need that elusive character quality called courage. Courage is the ability to do stuff even when we're scared. It's the capacity to hope even when all we see is gray. But there's a problem with courage. Sometimes it takes courage to choose courage. In Psalm 34, King David pens a song about a time he needed courage. As he took a step in that direction, God provided more. That'll be the focus of our next prayer. And I invite you to join me for an 8th time of interactive prayer as we ask God to break into our city and bring resolution to our national crisis. We'll especially pray that we can be a city of courage. So please join us this Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. here on KWON 1400 or FM 93.3 or on Facebook Live or KWONTV.com. If you'd like, you can download the new prayer outline by clicking the Pray for Our City button at BartlesvilleRadio.com. And let's pray together for the life of our city.
Pick up some top-notch bargains at Peter's True Value during their Bargains of the Month sale. With spring-summer planting, nothing grows plants better than Miracle-Gro potting soil and all-purpose plant food. Your choice, $7.99 after an in-store instant $3 rebate. And don't forget the weed and grass killer. Peters has 1.1-gallon Roundup ready to use with Comfort Wand for $14.99 after $4 instant in-store rebate. Shop and save at Peters True Value in Dewey.
This is why we listen to you.
You speak the truth.
News Radio K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
You are a beacon of truth in an otherwise insane world.
K1 at AM 1400 for more than 60 years. Try us now at 93.3 FM.
You know, I'm proud to call you my radio friend all these years. Grateful for what all you do.
News Radio K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
It is 8:36, and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program, and your calls are always welcome at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass is with us, and where were we here?
People say, how do I properly prepare my soil when planting trees and shrubs? That's a loaded question. Why do you think we get about 4 truckloads of compost?
Yep, 2 tons now, right?
That's like 2,000 bags in one. But anyway, you want to consider the soil type, number one. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you what kind of soil you have. Just tell me you're close, you know, like the 300 block of Sooner Park Drive or something.
You've seen it all.
I can tell you where there's no 300 block.
I know. But anyway. I know, but just as an example, you get the generality. You know what the soil is.
Yeah, I can tell you what the soil is in your neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. And then so we can kind of make a good guess as to what type of soil you have.
Get you in the ballpark.
And then that way you know what you might want to get to supplement your soil. Mm-hmm. Some parts of town it's good stuff. Down when you go into Colonial over there in Dorchester, mm-hmm. As you go in a little bit just before you head on to the creek, the ditch which never hit rock. We clench it. We put a sprinkler system in 2 foot deep there. and this really rich black soil just came up. And you can also look at the surrounding trees and get a pretty good idea mm-hmm. what kind of quality of soil you have, because typically the taller they grow, the better the roots and the deeper the soil. So there are some parts where the trees are just stunted, and I just cringe when somebody wants
a limestone down there. You know,
somebody wants a big tree planted. Oh no,
not gonna happen.
Say, guys, load up the rock bars and the sledgehammer. This is gonna be a good one. So anyway, we have two types of compost. We have the Happy Frog, and the Back to Nature compost, mm-hmm. and either one's interchangeable. I kind of like the Back to Nature is a little coarser in texture, mm-hmm. and it permits more aeration into the soil as they are planted, so they have a better chance of transitioning themselves into the airport in which they're planted.
Ooh.
So anyway, and also that kind of falls in line here with saving water in the landscape.
Yeah.
I know that's not exactly what we're thinking about right now. Like I said earlier, you want to turn the plug around and drain the water out. But typically, it does get a little bit dry here in the mm-hmm. summertime, I say typically.
Typically, yeah.
And a good deep soil prep is important. So when you plant your flowers, just turn up the soil. Yeah, I spend an hour just planting like a geranium because I get in there with the shovel and dig it all out, kick out the rocks and put in the compost and everything else. For what, you know?
Here's your new home.
So anyway, for good drought tolerance and... you do want to do that. And also, if you have an area where the soil is really shallow, you might want to consider drought-tolerant plants like lavender and rosemary, sedums, succulents and things, ice plants. Mm-hmm. Those are all very tolerant of dry conditions. The periwinkles. And it's been so cool, though. We haven't been able to get very many periwinkles because they just sort of die. And we've been through this before in the spring.
They kind of get going, and then they got to...
Yeah. Well, actually, they get a stem rot. They just...
That's it.
As soon as it gets warm, though, they don't have that problem. But the periwinkles cannot tolerate cool, moist weather. So chances are, if you want some periwinkles, they're limited availability at this point. And I really wouldn't plant them when it's cool. So anyway, so there are some drought-tolerant plants such as that you can plant. That you don't have to water so much in the summertime. Mm-hmm. On the contrary, however, though, we do have a good selection of sun patiens. Sun patiens are basically, it's a variety of the New Guinean patien.
All right.
And it's a very tolerant of wide open sun. However, you do want to do a good preparation because they don't tolerate drought. And they do have a case of the limps when it gets really, really mm-hmm. hot and dry and they need extra water. Yeah. So you might add some compost, something to the soil. And make it so the root system can really go out and develop nicely mm-hmm. and take on water as they like. And a good layer of mulch, too. When you do plant your things like your sun patiens, your sun coleus, and things like that, put a layer of mulch on the ground, and that helps conserve water, too. It'll pay for itself. Mm-hmm. Really, it does. With our water rates,
Yeah.
Mulch is a good investment because you'll get your money back on the amount of water you save.
Get plus, a good return on that investment.
Plus weed control, all this other stuff. It does a great job of controlling weeds, too. Mulch does, anyway. So, anyway, that kind of leads us to irrigation systems. Mm-hmm. You need to, when designing your sprinkler systems, you need to know your available water quantity, your available water pressure. your regional priorities, your plant types, your depth of soil, et cetera, et cetera, and your slope also. You have to you want to design the system so it applies on a heavy slope, mm-hmm. or if the soils are all heavy clay on a slope, you want it to apply water at a slow rate, mm-hmm. a slow rate of precipitation, so it doesn't all run off into the street. Mm-hmm. So you'd want to use as much as possible a rotary head on a sprinkler head on a slope area as opposed to a spray head. Because mm-hmm. the amount of water distributed in a given area is greater on a spray head than it is on a rotary head. Well, you can, now these with these computer timers, you can have an incremental watering to cover that.
Okay.
You don't have to do the spray head all at once. You can do it for 3 minutes and then wait a few hours, do it for 3 minutes, that kind of a thing. It's all in the programming. Mm-hmm. So if you do have areas that are relatively small, and we go with the spray heads. Mm-hmm. But if it's coincident with a heavy slope and heavy soil, then you program it to water that particular area several times rather than all at once.
Well, yeah, you're working smarter instead of harder.
Yeah, you see water running down the street.
And yeah, you're wasting. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like dollar like, oh, bill. Wow.
Just, how are you doing there?
Why don't they just dye the water green? I mean, so anyway, know all your gimmicks you need to know. And actually, we do have sprinklers you can control with this.
Right with now, your cell phone,
I can open up my cell phone and water my front beds mm-hmm. right from here. Or if I'm in Thailand, I can do this. Do it.
You guys think of everything.
But anyway, so that's really great because you don't have to go out. And it's really good for testing the system, too.
Oh, it is.
Because you can walk around the yard and punch this particular area. Mm-hmm. And with the one we use, you get little pictures of the zone you're doing. So if you forget the number, it has an illustration of the front yard or illustration of the beds and all that. Mm-hmm. And you just click on that and it whoosh, turns on.
Wow, keeps it right there for
it's
you.
It's pretty fun. They also tap into the weather service with a Noah's Ark going to be bubbling down No Water Road this coming week. It'll automatically shut down your system.
You know, when I moved here last June, and I heard of a town called No Water. I went through it. There was a lot of water.
A lot of water and No Water, yeah.
On that note, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll be right back here with more of the Green Country Gardener as they give me the hook. It is 8:44. We'll be back after this 2-minute timeout.
Spring is here and Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is open. For those of you that don't want to get out, Green Thumb offers curbside service or delivery to your home. Ultraviolet light kills viruses and Green Thumb's plants are treated with ultraviolet light by Mother Nature. And arriving weekly, vegetable, herbs, trees, and shrubs. So come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants and more. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5.
In what feels like the blink of an eye, things got tough. Really tough. That's why Convoy of Hope is distributing meals in the U.S. to those hit hardest by the pandemic, people who've lost their jobs or are struggling to feed their children, those who can't afford to get sick. To help, visit convoyofhope.org/10 million meals. That's convoyofhope.org/10 million meals, or use your smart speaker to give today. Any amount is appreciated and will help people who need it most. Already, thanks to the generosity of people just like you, we've distributed masks to hospitals, helped parents who are struggling to feed their children, and provided hope to so many more in need. Your gift to convoyofhope.org/10 million meals will make a difference for so many. Thank you for standing with Convoy of Hope as we respond to this crisis. And if you can't give today, please keep showing kindness to others. We're going to get through this together.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
Today is gonna be a good day. Got to listen to your show, and I know all about it. I love every bit about it.
But anyway, I just started listening to you, and I love you. Today is gonna be a
good day. K1, AM 1400, and 93.3 FM. A good day! And online at BartlesvilleRadio.com.
Good morning and welcome back. It is 8:46. It is the Green Country Gardener Program with Larry Glass. I'm Tom Davis. Your phone calls welcome at 1-800-749-5936. Lauren?
There are some other factors on an irrigation system you want to consider.
Mm-hmm.
Is the wire type, is it the proper wire that you're going to use?
Yeah.
And another one is accessibility to wiring connections.
Very important.
Very important. Now, we have, when we do irrigations, we put valves out in the field, which runs certain regions in the yard. And that's where the wiring connections are supposed to be. And there should be enough wire in there to where you can pull the wires out and work on them, because that's the first thing to go wrong typically with the sprinkler system are the wiring connections. And if you have a wire connection that is not in a hub or a valve box anywhere, in other words, a link of two cables coming together, and it's buried somewhere.
Oh, boy.
Good luck trying to find it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I've ran into a few of those in the past. I just simply can't find it. It's going to be cheaper just to run a new wire than try to find the break.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that all the wiring connections are done in a valve box, and then there's enough length of wire. You notice how long the wires are on the solenoids. They're about, I don't know.
About a foot? A
foot, 16 inches long or so.
Okay.
You want your field wire to match that in length so you can pull it up out of the box and make your adjustments. Because these little six-inch boxes, it's difficult to get your hands in there to work on the wire if it's jammed way down to the bottom. You can't repair it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing we do is make sure that there's plenty of slack in the wire to pull them up out of the ground and service the connections that are bad, if they go bad.
Let's see if we have a call here.
Got a caller.
Hi, good morning. You're on the air with Larry.
Oh, yeah, hi, thanks. Got several pecan trees.
Yes.
And I noticed some had some black spots on the leaves, and it's right next adjacent to some farm ground. It just got sprayed. It's just weeds right now. It's going to get beans, hopefully, whenever. Things dry out, whenever. But anyway, I saw these spots, and I didn't notice any of these black spots on the leaves in other trees that were further away from this field. And, you know, I don't know what he sprayed, but you know, I think you can assume it's going to be whatever. It's going to just be the strongest herbicide they can that can kill all these weeds.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering what I should do, if I should monitor, and any advice?
Yeah. First of all, look for distortion in the leaves. In other words, are they still flat? In other words, are they starting to wrinkle up and their shape is distorting? You just have some black spots is all?
Yeah, and but, you know, the leaves look fine on the other trees that were further away.
Right.
From this
but the leaves that are affected they're not distorted or bent in any way they're still
you know this was just this is all just very recent so it was really just a day or two after the spraying when noticed
so it's too late for that
a couple of days ago but well, yeah so at the time you know this would have been just a day or two after the field was sprayed or a couple of days when I noticed the spots the leaves looked great other than the spots That's been a couple of days ago. I'll check again.
Sure. Well, time will tell on whether or not. If you do get some distortion in it, they probably use a 2,4-D type of herbicide or something on it, or who knows what they use on it. What was the target pest? What were they trying to control with that?
Well, you know, it's just a bunch of grass, and you know, sometimes there would be winter wheat there, and, you know, they get like the next year's wheat that comes up, and there's grass, and there's weeds.
Okay.
And so they're basically just trying to kill everything, you know, and then, you know, be ready for beans.
Yeah. So it's probably maybe even a glyphosate or Roundup solution then.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know they use a lot of Roundup, and I know they use a lot of 2,4-D. So,
The 2,4-D.
The stuff you can get.
Yeah, the 2,4-D is what causes the distortion of the leaves. And leaf drop will probably ensue shortly. After that happens, so chances are it won't affect the whole tree if just a portion of it is, so it should be okay. Without really knowing what kind of herbicide they use, it could even be if they use a grass killer per se that targets grasses, it could be just some surfactant damage on there too. They probably use a lot of surfactant when they do aerial spraying like that, just so it sticks better to the plant, you know. And it could. And it,
well, you know, I mean, sometimes they're doing aerial spraying. This was with one of the big tractors with the giant arms that go way out.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't aerial this time.
Well, you can probably contact the landowner and say, well, what were you spraying? I need to know.
Oh, I could find out. Yeah. Oh no, I could find out. But
yeah.
But I just, you know, happened to turn on the radio and it was on my mind, so I thought I'd call and ask. But yeah, I'll do that. I'll find out what it is. And,
yeah. Yeah. And once we know what it is, and probably tell what's going on, and then.
We could help a little bit.
Probably help. I don't know. Once it's on there, there's not a lot you can do, really. So what's there is there. So if it's a 2,4-D, it'll just cause some leaf damage. I don't think it'll go into the plant, but Roundup might cause some yellowing of the leaves. I don't think, if it didn't get on the whole tree, I don't think it'll kill the whole thing. You might get some setback on it. You'll probably have to do some pruning in response to it, perhaps. But other than that, I think... probably not that serious a thing until you find out what it is.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So, maybe if I notice some leaves start to look worse, you know, then think about pruning off some of the bad.
Yeah. Limbs. If the leaves start to distort, wrinkle up, and kind of cup in, if you will, then you might want to do some pruning on it, just to try to stop the spread of whatever it is into your plant.
Makes sense. Okay, great.
Okay. All right, thanks, Sam.
All right, thank you. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on the Green Country Gardener Program after this 3-minute timeout.
The original Waldorf Astoria Hotel on Fifth Avenue in New York City was built in 1893. Constructed in the German Renaissance style, the hotel had 450 guest rooms and another 100 rooms for staff and servants. After merging with their next-door neighbor, the Astoria Hotel, in 1897, the hotel had 1,300 rooms, making it the largest hotel in the world at the time. The Empire Room at the hotel was the largest and most lavishly decorated room in the Waldorf, and quickly became one of the finest restaurants in New York City. From the beginning, the Waldorf was the must-stay place for foreign dignitaries from around the world. Some of those guests were the leaders of China, the Prince of Siam, the Grand Duchess of Russia, and many others. Andrew Carnegie was a regular guest at the hotel, and the Waldorf Astoria Bar became a favorite haunt for many of the financial elite such as Diamond Jim Brady, Buffalo Bill Cody, and Bat Masterson. In short, anyone who was anyone in the world of politics, society, business, or entertainment wanted to be seen at the Waldorf. It truly was the world's hotel. Following the tragic sinking of the Titanic, the Waldorf Hotel was the official site for the inquiry that was performed by the United States Senate into the disaster. With this backdrop, our very own Frank Phillips was a major player at the Waldorf. In 1929, a private corporation was formed by Uncle Frank, and he became part owner of the Waldorf. Later that year, they sold the buildings and the land to a corporation named Empire State, Inc. Their plan was to demolish the hotel, which they did, and build the Empire State Building in that location. In July of 1929, prior to the demolition, Frank Phillips inspected the hotel and paid particular attention to four handsome chandeliers which hung in the tap room of the hotel. When the hotel was gutted in preparation for the demolition, Frank was given those ornate lights. He promptly shipped them to Oklahoma and had them hung in the great living room of the Woolerock Lodge, where they illuminated family gatherings, business meetings, cocktail parties, poker games, and many other social events. Whenever asked by guests about the lights, Frank liked to joke and say they were all that he got out of his investment, calling them his million-dollar chandeliers and declaring them the most expensive in the country. The magic of New York City and the Waldorf Astoria from 1893 is still part of the lodge today and the wonderful history of Woolerock. That same magic still exists. Welcome home to Woolerock.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Good morning and welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:56. Larry Glass is with us here. And what do we have on our on our itinerary here, young man?
Oh, yes. We are continuing on with sprinkler systems. There are a lot of good sprinkler contractors in town. Mm-hmm. And the manufacturers of the equipment, you want to make sure that you put them in properly so they work properly. There's a certain way these work, and the way the heads have to be spaced and located and so on with each other. So
it's not something for the old shade tree. Hey, I think I got this to do.
Dig a trench and put in a pipe. Yeah, it's not quite that simple. No,
no, it's a little bit more complicated.
Yeah. And also, there's some all kinds of new piping coming out. The blue line pipe.
Oh.
Which is really excited about that. It does really well. So, anyway, that leads us on to clematis. The clematis are blooming right now.
They are.
We got a good selection of them. And I was at a house yesterday, and they looked like kind of a pincushion. Interesting flower on it. Really quite showy.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in full bloom right now. So clematis are making a really good show with the weather we were having this spring and all that. Even though Jack Frost was nipping at our heels last night.
Yeah.
They're still doing just fine. So they're a very hardy plant. They're not an overly attractive plant when they're not in bloom, but they do put on a really good flower show. We're selling quite a few of those. Also, the hydrangeas, we have some boo-boo. Bobo hydrangeas. And it's quickly becoming one of my favorite plants, too, because they're so easy to grow, and they do bloom without too much worry. So they're a pretty good plant. So we've got some of those in this last week and before, too. But the hardy hibiscus are starting to come out, and we've sold a lot of those. And I put some in the landscapes, and people really do like them. There's a variety with red flowers on it and red leaves. Yes, and it does bloom pretty much all summer long. Mm-hmm. So that's the hardy, I don't recall the color, but just the red leaf, red flowered ones. And Gary only grows the ones that bloom all summer long, so be assured you'll get one that'll bloom for a long period of time. The Rose of Sharon's are growing up nicely this year, and they're starting to differentiate a little bit, too. They'll be blooming here pretty shortly. Typically, they bloom at the same time the crepe myrtles do, but I think because of the weather, they're developing a little faster this year. So things all happen at different times. Okay. So there's a lot going on at the nursery. A lot going on with landscape. I got a lot of sod to lay this week.
Oh, yeah.
I have to get out my kayak to lay down, probably.
But, yeah, there might be a little rain this week.
We are very busy right at the nursery, so come on out and check us out. So, anyway, we have a lot of things for Mother's Day. I was mentioning earlier some hanging baskets. We got some color pots, some geranium pots, or various colored flowers and pots and things, too. Mixed pots, if you will. And Mum really likes those because it's done.
And they look good.
No planting to do and all that. We got to have a good selection of fertilizers and things also for your yard. And a little pile of river rock. So we've got quite a few things to give away. And if you need some dirt, we got some dry dirt. And we're going to cover it when it rains. And in order to move that dirt, you want to keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Have the plans? Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour.